any kind of paternalism, because naturally we in the United States and North America in general have much larger seminaries. And very easily can it happen that we, because we're large, are making all the decisions, we are going to help the poor little churches over there, and that kind of mentality, because we realize that it is very important that we also receive the blessing that they can give to us, that these churches should be in the forefront of planning meetings that will be helpful not only to them, but also through them to us. And so the planning for our next meeting, which we hope will be in 3 years, was done by three groups of this confessional bodies. One, the Europeans and the Africans. And they sat down and they said, what should be on this program that would be of help to us? The Asians sat down and said, what do we need to have that will meet our needs as we see them on the agenda 3 years hence? And then North Americans did the same thing. Now this is to be pooled so that an agenda, we hope and pray, can be developed that will not be a United States agenda, that will not give the impression that we are the ones now who will instruct them as to how they shall do theological education in those other countries. And I think this was much appreciated also by our brothers in other parts of the world and should be a blessing. The participants at the meeting in St. Catharines, which lasted 4 or 5 days, involved the following. The Free Evangelical Lutheran Church in South Africa, which works primarily with white people. Then the church which Bishop Schultz, that some of you heard here one evening, is the head of, and that is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in Southern Africa, which does work not only in South Africa, but Swaziland and Botswana, the church body with whom our Missouri Synod is working now in Botswana. Both of these church bodies have German origin in that the original people who came over were members of the so-called Free Church in Germany and began work. That second church body, Bishop Schultz and company, work especially with black people and Indian people, by Indian referring to the people from the country of India. We had, besides the New Guinea church represented, the Philippines, France, both East and West Germany, Finland, the Canadian seminaries at St. Catharines and Edmonton, Cambridge in England, Korea, Brazil, Argentina, Hong Kong, India, of course our sister seminary in Fort Wayne, so that only Taiwan, Tokyo, where we carry on a kind of joint theological education program yet with other Lutherans, and one of the two churches in New Guinea, Gutnius, and the Nigerian seminaries were not represented. So we had a very excellent representation. We stayed in the homes of Lutheran Christians. That was nice. And had a great opportunity then to mingle with the good people of St. Catharines. I've been very much impressed every time I go up there with the great loyalty and commitment of the lay people as well as the clergy to the theological education program in Ontario. Their financial support, support in their women's seminary guild, and everything is, there's just a great spirit of contagious optimism there. And these people open up their homes to us. It was quite a delightful experience. Our sessions were held at the new seminary there, which is on the campus of Brock University, and a delightful place, the third time I've been privileged to be there, and they have a wonderful facility. The meals were all provided by ladies of the various churches in St. Catharines, and Lutheran Life, which is the counterpart to Aid Association for Lutherans in Canada and Lutheran Brotherhood, they took us to one afternoon. One afternoon we had off, we went to Niagara Falls, we had a delightful luncheon up in one of those revolving, dizzying towers that go around, and a bus trip through the area and so forth. It was really wonderful. Our hospitality was just great. And all the people that I've mentioned, representatives of all these seminaries, participated in the agenda, either by delivering a lecture or by having a homily at one of our devotional periods. And I think it was very good that those of us who, from the United States, Dr. Preuss and myself particularly, did not deliver any lecture, but rather listened to the church bodies who with whom we don't have that much contact and learned a lot. And he and I both had, you know, one of the devotions that were conducted. In just a couple of minutes that are left, I'll just trace the some of the papers that were delivered to give you a little bit of a flavor. Hans Lutz Paetsch, whom some of you may know, has lectured here. He's the head of our Lutheran Hour program in northern Germany and very closely associated with Oberursel, delivered a paper on the development of free theological faculties in Germany since the end of World War II and traced causes for this in the theological liberalism and the use of historical criticism in the theological faculties of the universities, and looked a little bit at their possible future also, and the relationship between studying at those universities and also at these free theological faculty groupings. Dr. Janso gave us a very interesting overview and resume of the organization of our new seminary in Edmonton, which this year has 18 students, right on target with their projections. The one that is in Western Canada, there are about 40 of them, as you know, over at St. Catharines in Eastern Canada. Dr. Fuliga, who got his PhD from this place just 3 years ago, the rector or principal of the seminary in the Philippines, spoke about a very interesting subject, the relationship of the ordained ministry to a theological education program for those who might not be considered, quote, pastors, but deacons, and how will they now provide the spiritual care needed for hundreds of congregations when their ordained clergy is comparatively small. The whole idea of theological training by extension and all the plans that they have in the Philippines were rehearsed. Dr. Wachler, who was here on our campus as well from Leipzig, gave a very simple but clear and concise paper with reference to the significance of the Lutheran confessions for theological training, impressing upon us also that sometimes it becomes necessary for us even to suffer for the truth. And he and his small band of faithful people in East Germany are certainly prime examples. All of us were very much touched at Cambridge when he described for us the conditions under which the Church of East Germany must function, and the courage of these people, and their absolute unqualified commitment to Scriptures as Word of God and to the Lutheran confessions is very faith-strengthening for all of us to hear. Dr. Doro from Korea talked about the development of the theological training program in Korea, tracing its beginning way back to 1958. Some of you perhaps who have had the privilege of sitting at Dr. G's feet have heard a little bit about the origin and development of the church body there, how from a kind of a house of studies arrangement and a night school program, they are now beginning to flourish with a, quote, seminary and seeking additional licensing from the government of Korea. That church, you know, came into a climate of Christianity that had been around for more than 100 years, but completely Calvinistic. At the time that Presbyterianism has been there for a long time, as you probably know, and at that time, as well as today, when we have 8 million Christians in Korea, 4 million of them are Presbyterians. And some of the problems that had to be worked out, and because of the culture and the like, in the development of the church body and the development of theological education, very interesting for us and instructive for us to hear. Dr. Kreiss of France gave us a kind of a heart-rending presentation when he talked about confessional training in an ecumenical age against the cultural and religious background of the church in France, and pleaded with us to help him and his church in trying to make an impact upon a culture that has become completely, in his judgment, pagan. And one had to think with what's happening in our country as far as our moral standards are concerned, what we see on television, and the whole approach to behavior and mores, if we are not soon approaching what he describes as being the situation in France. 55 million people, 53 million of them nominally Catholic, 1% attend church in the cities. He speaks of a priest who tells him that in his town of 30,000 people, 30,000 members of the church, if they are fortunate, they have 300 of those in church. And to approach people over there and to ask, as Kennedy does, if you were to die tonight, you know, and you say, why should I leave you into my heaven? This question that evangelists sometimes used, he says, means nothing. Because they say, what are you talking about, heaven? What are you talking about, God? And he said, to talk about the second article and the third article is futile because nobody believes the first article. So a tragic situation. And he was almost pleading with us, how, you from other parts of the world, tell us, how can we reach these people who say they are Protestant only because they want to be descendants of some people who were persecuted 300 years ago, or who say they are members of the church only because their father and their mother were, they are Catholic, they are not Protestant, or they are Protestant, they are not Catholic, but where religious beliefs are completely irrelevant, the differences between church bodies, completely irrelevant to the average person. Professor Zweck, who is the tutor at Cambridge, gave a very excellent presentation on the significance of philosophy for confessional training in an ecumenical age. And I'll just, if I can find it quickly, give you the concluding paragraph of his to kind of give you a sense of the flavor. The foregoing, he said, is an attempt to promote some discussion among our confessional Lutheran seminaries concerning the appropriate attitudes to be taken toward philosophy in the training that we offer to our students. Listen to this. The question is raised whether we have in the past given our students an adequate understanding of the philosophies that have shaped and still shape modern theology. The question is also raised whether and in what ways we may unwittingly be incorporating non-Christian or even anti-Christian philosophical elements in our training. Finally, a plea is made for a more positive attitude toward the discipline of apologetics and a clearer definition of its appropriate role. Well done, and the unfortunate thing was that for all of these papers, there was not the time that we would have liked, while there was time for discussion, not the time that we would have liked for exploring some of the questions asked. So finally, the blessings and future plans, it was a great thing, as I'm sure all of us have experienced, in just in terms of the communion of saints, to be together with people from all over the world and to know that sometimes in large numbers, sometimes in very small numbers, there are those fellow Christians with us, yea, more than fellow Christians, those who are confessionally one with us, who proclaim the pure doctrine of the Word of God, who do so sometimes at great sacrifice. And we who have this privilege, you know, are often so selfish and forget the suffering and the turmoil through which our brothers and sisters in Christ go in order to preserve doctrinal integrity and so that the gospel can be glorified and preached clearly and rightly. And then the blessings in terms of mutual help. Our library, Joanne Murley particularly, was praised by Dr. Janzo for the help that she and our library staff in general have given to Edmonton. There were discussions about church bodies over here. Can you suggest a librarian for us that we need, a professor in this area that we need? All of this kind of interaction, I think, will also result in greater contacts and mutual exchange for our help, not the least of which is our prayers. And I will be asking our chaplains again to include periodically these different schools in the corporate prayers of our community in our chapel services. It is our prayer that we might be able in 1988 to meet either in Hong Kong or in Brazil and to further this fellowship and this exchange. It is 11:30, but if there is a question or two, it is indeed 11:30. I'll entertain it. Otherwise, those of you who have a special interest maybe can stay over for a moment. I don't want to hold those of you who have class soon. But is there one or two questions? Yes, Doug.
Evidently, the smaller confessional bodies in the United States, those seminaries,
Who is that?
Wisconsin.
Oh, yes. That's a good question. Did Wisconsin take part? While the core group was to be those who actually have, quote, fellowship with Missouri Synod, we felt it, because it is no there's no unionism involved, to invite other bodies. We invited the Wisconsin Synod, we invited the Evangelical Lutheran Synod, we invited the Lutheran Church of Australia to participate. You remember that the Australian Church is a combination of church bodies, one which it had fellowship with us and another which had fellowship with the ALC, and they resolved at the time of their merger that for the time being they would not have fellowship with either of the church bodies. But many of there have their roots with Missouri, and we thought it would be very strengthening for us and them to have them with us, but the invitations were granted, but for one reason or another, they did not come. But they will be receiving an invitation again to the next ones as well. Yes?
Were specific reasons given for the absence of our representatives from Taiwan and Japan?
No, nothing was said with reference to why the people were not there. And I don't think it could have been cost. I should have mentioned that this didn't cost our seminary anything, that there had been money, and I don't know what kind of restricted fund, whether from Forward in Remembrance, but some funds out of the Board for Mission Services that provided the airfare and the costs of all the participants. So it did not come out of the treasuries of these church bodies. They would have had the opportunity to come without cost. Well, thank you so much. God go with you, and hope that the next time we'll have an even better crowd. Thank you.